Welcome to It's a Dog's Life. I'm Tracy Hotchner, here with my co-host Greg Kleva, the dog trainer who's been helping you on the radio for years. Together, we'll help with any behavior issues you have in living a safe and fun life with your pooch. We'd like to thank our sponsors and let you know we've invited these companies to be here. Whole Life Pet will send you a free sample box of freeze-dried protein treats for dogs and cats if you send me your mailing address to radiopetlady@gmail.com. There's a whole week's worth of wonderful live pet shows I co-host on our own Radio Pet Lady Network. RadioPetLady.com has the whole schedule. This show is a production of Eight Paws LLC and Golden Bulldog Inc., which are solely responsible for its content. Call us with any questions you have about your dog's behavior or training. Our number is 888-429-5471. That's 888-429-5471. Give us a call. Isn't it so fun, Greg, that we can take calls? Guys, we're serious. If you're out there and you have a dialing finger, put it to use, 888-429-5471. How are you doing, sir? I understand you have a small creature on your lap, and it's not your beautiful baby daughter.
Yeah, different small creature. This is my this guy's been my little sidekick for years. Little Mr. Snickers, my miniature pincher, is joining me tonight.
Oh, how darling. You were telling me you got him from PetFinder.com. There was a whole litter that had been rescued from somewhere?
Yeah, he was with a rescue group. I don't know, to be honest with you. I don't know how they came upon him. But, yeah, he's a little rescue dog. You know, and it's I kind of like to use him as an example because people think that you can only get a purebred dog from a breeder or from the puppy store. No, no, no. So, you know,
it's
there are a lot of breed-specific rescue groups or just rescue groups in general that, you know, you can find a purebred dog if that's what you've got your heart set on.
Absolutely right. You want a certain size, shape, look, or what have you. Yeah, that's really cool. Mr. Snickers. We should put Mr. Snickers' picture up at RadioPetLady.com.
I will be happy to send a picture of Snickers and
his
big sister Clementine. I've got, you know, for those that have been listening to me on the radio for years now, they know because I talk about my dogs all the time, I've got an 85-pound American Bulldog, Clementine, and this little 8-pound miniature pincher, Mr. Snickers. They're quite a pair. So, yeah,
I love it.
Just by their photo, I'll definitely send that.
Do that. Yes, we need a Mutton Jeff for sure. Well, the lines are filling up with calls, only proving how much people love Greg Kleva. The number is 888-429-5471. If you get a busy signal, that's good news. It means everybody's trying at once, but do not give up. Nicole, welcome back to It's a Dog's Life. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Excellent. What's your question for Greg?
I have a one-year-old pound puppy that likes to swim too much, and we spent so much time trying to get him into the pool and to enjoy swimming that we forgot to create a boundary to maybe let him know that when it's okay to get in the pool. And we're about to move to a new house in a month that also has a pool, so I feel like it's going to be a fresh start to maybe train him that it's okay to swim when we tell you to come in the pool and maybe not necessarily at 6 a.m. when it's time to go potty.
That's hilarious. So he's a year old. And is he sort of a lab mix?
No, they told us he was a lab when we adopted him, but he never got more than 30 pounds. We did a DNA test on him, and it says he's a standard poodle, Welsh Springer Spaniel, and a Shiba Inu.
Oh, okay.
Could I just take a moment here to tell everyone that the DNA test is like going to the carnival and throwing 25 cents in the bin, okay? Because that is utterly ludicrous, because let me just say one thing, and Greg, he's been to a lot of dog shows, too. Shiba Inus don't run around mating with other dogs randomly, okay? It's like, where do they come up with it? Everything
well,
is a part chow. Whoever saw a chow wandering down the street looking for love, right? I tell you, just drives me nutty. So this is a little dangerous, right, Greg? I mean, to have a dog that just randomly – are you worried because he swims on his own or that he jumps in when you guys are in?
No, he doesn't necessarily swim on his own. He will go sit on the steps to cool off and just sit there for a little while. And then
he'll
get back out
choice.
And dance around.
I think that's good. What, Greg, do you have a problem with that?
No, I mean, as long as the dog is, you know, my main concern when I hear Nicole's concern about her dog is that, you know, is he going to exhaust himself and possibly have a hard time getting out of the pool? You know, that could cause problems. Number one with water safety is making sure.
He doesn't go in the pool without us there.
Okay.
Well, that's cool.
But
I mean, it's also the other thing.
It's a good thing because it's 6 in the morning and I'm trying to get ready to work and I let him outside and now I got to dry him off and chase him out of the pool and.
You may need to do some training where he may think, well, if I get called out of the pool, my fun is over. If the habit has been, or the pattern has been, I get called out of the pool and then mom makes me come in the house. He's not going to want to come to you so readily because he knows, okay, if I do what mom asked me to do, then my swim is done. So maybe let him in the pool at other times. Call him out every couple of minutes. If he's not that obedient with coming out, you might have to put a long leash on him. Put a lunge leash, like a 30-foot leash on him, and call him out. Come on, good boy. Give him a gentle tug towards the stairs.
Right.
Call him out. Give him lots of praise. Good boy. Good puppy. Go ahead. Go get back in the pool. And let him run back in the pool. So you break up that predictability, what the dog thinks is a predictable series of events where he goes, oh, just because mom called me out doesn't mean that the fun's over. I can go back in and run around and or do something else with him. Play, you know, fetch a, throw a ball for him to fetch or do something else fun and then let him go get back in the pool. So, you know, you're going to have better success at getting him to come out of the pool when you need him to because he doesn't know what's going to happen next. Maybe it means I'm going back in the house, but maybe it means we're going to have fun in another way.
What I understand, though, Nicole, let me just understand this. You wish that he would go outside when you want him to have dry feet and dry legs and somehow know by ESP that you don't want him to have wet feet and wet legs? You want him to just kind of like
intuit? Yes, there's times. Like there's times when, sure, go in the pool, that's fine, but there's other times where we'll be playing catch or fetch or just mowing the grass and he'll decide that he's a little too warm and he'll go sit on the second step of the pool and hang out for a little while.
I think it's fine, Greg. See, she's not concerned that he's swimming. It's that he's getting himself wet. What state do you live in, Nicole?
Florida, where it's hot.
Hey, sweetie, you are so lucky to have a dog who figures out how to cool his own self off. You don't have to worry about hyperthermia. Seriously.
He may need it.
Oh, my God. And you know,
I guess I would say if there are times when you're going to yourself, okay, we're going to go outside and have fun in some other way or go outside for another reason, like going to the bathroom, and I want to make sure he doesn't get into the pool because I've got somewhere to be in 15 minutes and I don't have time to dry him off, then you're going to have to manage the situation and keep him on a leash while you've got him out there to make sure he doesn't get in the pool.
But really, Nicole, the cooling himself off is a really good choice on his part. The other choice is he digs up your entire rose garden to get it some really cool, damp earth.
Yeah.
I think you'd rather have it be the pool.
That's what the Rottweiler does. She won't get in the pool.
Yeah, see? That's what my Rottie used to do. Yep.
Cool dirt.
So you know what, Nicole? You don't really have a problem. You have a solution to a problem. You have a pool that he can cool off in. So you have to look at the positive side of it. And keep a stack of towels by the slider or the door wherever you come in. And, you know, they make really absorbent ones just for dogs that, you know, absorb, four times their weight. So you don't have to do a whole lot of laundry. And they dry instantly, like a chamois for the car.
Yep.
Okay?
Well, thank you. I'm so glad to hear you guys back on the air.
Thank you so much for calling,
Nicole. Well, you're so sweet. We're thrilled to have you calling in. Don't forget to go to RadioPetLady.com and see Greg's page because we're going to put up lots more photos. We might even coax a photo of the baby out of him, the human baby. That would be really fun.
Nicole, we're so glad you called.
Yeah, I'm going to be twisting. I'm going to be twisting. Thank you so much for the call. It's great to hear from you. Love that doggy, that nice wet doggy. 888-429-5471. Join us, please. We have Beth on the line. Beth, welcome to It's a Dog's Life.
Thank you.
What can Greg help you with?
Well, I adopted an American Bulldog a year ago. He was 3 when I adopted him, and he goes with my 11-year-old miniature schnauzer.
Nice.
That's like my dynamic.
I'm sorry?
I said that's like my dynamic with my big dog, little dog.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Well, the first week I adopted my American Bulldog, I left him in the house after I made sure he was okay with the schnauzer, and he ate my couch. I'm not lying. I'm looking at a couch that has stuffing all over, everywhere. And, you know, it's gone now, so it's too late for the couch, obviously. But he...
Got to give a funeral for that couch, Beth. We're going to have a funeral. That's really kind of sad.
Yeah, well, whatever. I don't care. It's crazy. My son thinks I'm absolutely nuts, but this dog is the sweetest dog on the planet. I mean, he sits in my lap. He's an 80-pound American bulldog, and I love this dog with all my heart.
Love to hear that. Gentle giant.
Yeah. You know, Beth, the thing is, a week after you adopt a dog, it's still a huge adjustment, and the separation anxiety is just there. It's guaranteed. You know, Greg, something I think we should often recommend to people, because it's a tool that I just haven't thought about all the time until recently, an adaptyl collar that Dr. Sean has on his website, petcarenaturally.com. They're pheromones, Beth, and even if you've had them 6 months by now, it's just wonderful. It's a great tool for Greg. I mean, if any of his clients would wear a pheromone collar, either the humans or the dog, only kidding, it makes Greg's job easier. It makes a dog much calmer, cooler, centered, you know, at peace with himself and the world around him. It's like the Linus blanket. So, you know, that would be a really great thing to put on him. I mean, don't you think, Greg, after only a week of being adopted, you're going to expect some kind of chaos if you leave the poor guy loose in the house.
For sure. I mean, you're definitely rolling the dice, whether it's a new puppy or a new dog to your home that you've rescued or adopted, like Beth. It's you know, the dog may be suffering from some stress or anxiety because of the changes.
Oh, sure.
The dog may be, you know, you don't know what kind of education the dog has had, or if the dog is suffering from nutritional deficiencies, and you know, you have to assume, okay, there may be some destructive behaviors. So, you know, again, you want to use management in the near term to make sure that you kind of get to know the dog first and see, well, is he showing interest in the shoes sitting by the door? Is he chewing on the sofa pillows when we're sitting here watching TV? That's a good indication that he may munch on it when you're away from home. So, you know, you rolled the dice. You lost, unfortunately. you lost the couch.
Listen, the dog is my absolute heart and soul.
I love that.
I've had him for a year, and I love this dog more than anything. I could care less about the sofa.
Yeah.
Well, you have a great attitude. You have a great attitude.
Oh. I love to hear Beth's attitude about her dog. I love that she has that love and affection. But at the same time, you know, you do want to address, you know, the behavior to make sure that if you want to leave him out at other times. So, you know, you look at things like, is he bored? You know, do I have to give him more physical and mental stimulation? Or do I need to do a little bit of training and make sure he knows this is okay for you to chew on and this is not okay for you to chew on? And, you know, then you can not only love him, but you can also be rest assured that you can trust him when you're not at home as well. So you get more of a balanced relationship, which is nice.
And also, Greg, for his
safety.
Well,
at some point, I'll get a new sofa. But I'm kind of waiting.
Furniture is overrated. Who needs furniture? You know, the other thing you want to be careful
I'm not kidding you. I could care less. My son is the one who's upset about it.
Well,
I mean,
you know what? He probably liked to be the couch potato. Now he can't be a couch potato. There's no more couch.
Exactly.
But you want to be careful if he is a chewer. Now, you've had him a year, and you didn't say that he's done any more destroying, because Greg's concerned that,
just the sofa.
Just the sofa, Greg. No big deal. You know what? He was just redecorating for you, Beth. Think of it that way.
Yep.
I love a dog that has personality and taste.
But you know, Tracy brings up another important point, which is that even though it was just the sofa this time, heaven forbid he does, you know, chew on, choke on, ingest something that could give him a really, you know, serious medical condition or kill him.
Oh,
quite
absolutely.
Frankly. Yeah. So, you know, you want to be careful.
Well, here's the thing I want to just reiterate, especially for someone who loves her dog as much as Beth does. What's his name?
Gunny.
Gunny. Love it.
Gunny Sergeant in the Marines.
Right. I like that.
Oh, I like that. Gunny Sergeant. Got it. Write to me at radiopetlady@gmail.com, Beth, so they can send you a box of samples of protein treats for him that are so delicious. I have to get a lot sent to Greg, because one of his dogs is very large.
Those
so radiopetlady@gmail.com. Everyone who listens to our show gets a free sample box. I have to send me your mailing address, otherwise we don't know how to get it to you. But radiopetlady@gmail.com. Okay? We're so thrilled you called. Give Gunny a good pet for both of us, and when you go shopping for a sofa, take him with you so he makes a good pick, okay? You have a great night, Beth. Take care.
Thanks, Beth.
Thank you all so much.
It's a pleasure. We're so pleased you're here. We're going to take a break, but before we do, I want to remind you of the number, because every time someone hangs up, then there's a free line. 888-429-5471. If you get a busy signal, do not give up. Just keep on dialing. We'll be right back. This show is supported by the pheromone products Feelaway for cats and Adaptil for dogs. Pheromones are chemical communicators that replicate a natural signal of comfort in your pet's brain. Veterinary behaviorists often recommend Feelaway and Adaptil as stress relievers to help solve behavior problems. Pheromones can help adopted cats and dogs make the adjustment and comfort new puppies and kittens experiencing the fear and loneliness of leaving their litters. Feelaway diffusers and spray for cats help with feline behavior issues in a multi-cat household. Look for Feelaway and Adaptil at RadioPetLady.com, where there's a discount to buy them from Dr. Sean's online store, PetCareNaturally.com. This show is also brought to you by Nordic Naturals, for people and their pets. Nordic Naturals has been providing people around the world with high-quality omega-3 oils for decades, with third-party testing for purity and freshness. Research has shown that even the best diets are deficient in the essential fatty acids found in omega-3 oils, and daily supplementation helps maintain optimal health for all members of the family. Nordic Naturals Omega Pet products bring the same health benefits to the cats and dogs in your family when you add Nordic Naturals Omega-3 fish oil to their bowls every day. VaxiCheck wants to know, are you worried about the harmful side effects of over-vaccinating your dog? But is your vet worried whether your dog still has protection from previous vaccinations? VaxiCheck is a new blood titer test done right in your veterinarian's office while you wait. It shows whether your dog has immunity to the deadly core diseases, distemper, parvovirus, and hepatitis, and needs revaccination or not. VaxiCheck should be used on puppies to confirm whether their puppy shots really worked. Shelters should use VaxiCheck on new arrivals to separate healthy dogs from unprotected ones. VaxiCheck, for your dog's safety and your peace of mind. And VaxiCheck for cats is coming soon. We are back, the marvelous Greg Kleva. It's a Dog's Life. We're here with a telephone that works, and you don't even have to pay. It's toll-free. You don't even have to pay for talking to us, which used to be true on Sirius XM, right, Greg? They had to pay money. Now
That's
it's
right.
just we're giving it away. 888-429-5471. I think we still have Marie on the line. Marie, welcome to the show.
Hi, Tracy. Hi, Greg.
Hi, Marie.
Howdy. What's your question for
I
Mr.
think Greg,
Greg
knows who this is, right?
We know who you are, darling.
Absolutely. Marie, Tracy, you may know Marie Shelto and her sidekick, Bacher Labradoodle, a celebrity Labradoodle. They do a ton of amazing work, animal advocacy work in the New York State area, all over the country, frankly. So
thank you so much for calling in.
I appreciate it.
Thrilled to meet
you.
Well,
Greg, I think my biggest problem is that my dog doesn't act like he's a dog.
Bacher is a special boy. There's no question about that. What's your saying about Bacher, Marie? I love it.
Well, I think years ago you always called him the reluctant celebrity.
Yeah. He is a reluctant
celebrity.
And
that he never gets his curls in a knot.
Never gets his curls in a knot. That's absolutely
I like that. That's adorable. Does he have curly hair?
Well, as it gets longer, He's an inconsistent-looking Labradoodle. Doesn't look like too many Labradoodles.
Oh, a Labradoodle. Greg said that. Yes, Labradoodles have actual hair, not fur. So you can style it.
Right. And I thought I was getting a 45-pound dog that wouldn't shed, and I got a 75-pound dog that does shed. So.
That's an interesting thing about Labradoodles, right, Greg? I mean, it depends on whether they lean more towards Labra or Doodle. Because the poodle really does have long growing hair, and Labradors are pretty big shedding dogs. So, Marie, you got the Labra side.
Yep, it's all in the DNA.
He's gorgeous, though. He's just got the most soulful, incredible eyes. And I have to say that he is leading me. He makes everybody smile, and he just leads me. Greg knows he has a little bit of mommy-itis, but at this point in his life, I don't really care.
Yeah, he's
exactly.
a great. I've known Marie and Bacher for years, and I always ask Marie, what kind of training did you do with Bacher? You know, how did you get him so well behaved? Bacher does a ton of therapy work. In fact, one of my last shows on Sirius XM, I spoke to the director of the Lutheran Church Charities about their Comfort Dog Ministries. That was right around the time of the Newtown, Connecticut school shootings.
Oh, how lovely.
And they were talking about the dogs that were there, you know, helping the community to heal from this tragedy. And Bakker and Marie have kind of, I don't even want to say that they've followed in their footsteps, but they've been up there continuing that work and doing, they've been, just been doing amazing, amazing work up there helping that community to continue.
Nice.
To heal. And that's just, that's the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, we were up there this past Saturday. We'll be up there another couple of weeks. We were at the library with Bakker where the children read his book to him. And it's just amazing. I mean, his interaction with children is just incredible. He's like a magnet with kids, and to see the amount of smiles that he brings. And, you know, you mentioned training. I wanted to get him into therapy work after he started doing all his little, you know, fashion ads and stuff. And crazy story, I was going in for major surgery, and I knew I wouldn't have time to take him for a certification, you know, for a long time. Well, there was a test going on that day. And I said, well, it could be like a driver's license. If he doesn't pass the first time, I'll take him again. Well, he nailed it the first time. So if you ask me what training, he came packaged the way he is. So I
that's
am
really
extremely
nice.
Lucky.
That's lovely. Well, we're so pleased you called, Marie. We're so pleased you called. And we want you to keep listening and keep doing all good things with him, okay? Have a really good night. Thanks so much for calling. Our number is 888-429-5471. I'm going to just read a question. Greg needs a little reconnection of his connection. So I'm going to read a question that came about Ozzy while Greg kind of reconnects. It's kind of a long question from, let me see her name, from Kimberly. Okay, so this is from Kimberly. I have a problem with my dog, Ozzy, that's growing quite serious. And all of you know you can always send in questions to Greg to his Facebook page, or you can write to us at radiopetlady@gmail.com, and we will nail it for you. And the number is 888-429-5471. I just want to get to this one because it's one that Greg's interested in. Ozzy has an aggression problem. He's 5 years old. Neutered as a young pup, part German Shepherd, Husky, Chow, and Wolf. Wow. Greg, you and I have to really address that wolf hybrid issue at some point. It is simply unacceptable. Any dog that's crossed with a wolf doesn't belong in society, period. They're just, I mean, if everyone's ever read the book, you know, of the Terradon, did you ever read the book? I should get it for you. The woman who had the wolf hybrid and thought it was all going to be fun and games, and what a nightmare. Really,
I'm not familiar with it, but it sounds interesting.
Oh, it's Call of the Wild. Of course, it's not called Call of the Wild. That's Jack London. I'm going to get them to send you a copy, and we can discuss it one day. She's had him since he was 10 weeks old. Prior to that, she'd mostly had German Shepherds. She thought everything was great. She always was great with dogs. A rowdy puppy, chewed on her hands and arms, growling, but it was playing. Different from my German Shepherds. At the vet, they loved him. Then his other male German Shepherd, Roxy, was jealous. Alpha was in his face. Ozzy got tired of it. They were had a fight. They would break it up with a hose or whatever was handy. They would have a couple of cuts and some limping, but no need for the vet. Two other dogs, rather large dog household. Females. Yeah. Now, here we go again. A 13-and-a-half-year-old German Shepherd and a 2-year-old German Shepherd Wolf. Do not get wolf hybrids, my friends. They don't belong in human homes. Ozzy is beginning to show aggression towards her husband and her and her older female German Shepherd, but only when he's startled or we get too much in his space. Yeah, okay, great. That would be true of a tiger, too. I can pet him and scratch his neck and play, but if I inspect an area like a hot spot or check his skin to see if there are fleas, he growls and nips. That means bites, okay? Greg, do you have the same problem I have, which is when someone says nips, it's like the pleasant word for bites?
Yeah, I mean,
if a dog
even,
puts his teeth on you, he's biting you.
Her next comment is more indication that, you know, this is going to get worse before it gets better. Even if it is just a nip, it's going to be a bite very soon.
Okay,
she says,
yeah.
He's never hurt me, just got close enough, but it startles me.
Yeah. Oh, he's never hurt me, gets close, and it startles me. I hate to admit it. Yeah, well, you should be scared.
Yeah, I say, why do you hate to admit it? You need
should
to
be scared. You should be plenty scared, like they said in those old movies. Be scared. Be very scared. For real. My old German Shepherd female is near him. She wobbles when she walks or passes him. Then he bites her. This kills her. You know what, sweetie? He could kill that other dog. She's the sweetest, doesn't deserve this. Right, but you brought a wolf into your house, Kimberly. I love all my dogs, but my household has lost its peace and comfort. They're not dogs. If it's a wolf hybrid, it's not a dog anymore. Can you please help? Yes, the wolf should be rehomed to some sort of a wolf-type sanctuary. I cannot even tell you how strongly I feel about this, but I guess that came across, huh, Greg?
Yeah. Well,
wolves will kill people.
You know more. You've got more knowledge about this or experience with this, and I have trained people who claim to have wolf hybrids. I don't know how much people really are they really sure that it's a wolf hybrid, or does it just look like a wolf? And you know, maybe they're assuming.
Yes.
So you know, I look at this and I kind of take the wolf hybrid out of it, and I say, okay, these are dogs that they're having this sibling rivalry.
But they're not, Lovey, because listen, she said one of them is a 2-year-old German Shepherd / wolf.
Yeah.
She bought a German Shepherd crossed with a wolf. That is a wolf hybrid, first generation. They will turn on people, children, and other animals, and they will kill them. Wolves were never meant to be in people's homes. The dog descended from the wolf hundreds, if not thousands, of years ago. This is not like last week in Montana. Last week in Montana, wolves need to live in the mountains in a wolf-like setting.
And certainly, again, from my experience, when you've got these hybrids, you're definitely going to you're going to get an animal that is more likely to act on its pack mentality and its
They're aggressive. They're killers.
They
are killers.
Yeah.
Wolves do not belong. Wolf in the Parlor. Let me see if this is the book. I can't tell you how many wolves I have. Oh yeah, this is a really good one. The Eternal Connection Between Humans and Dogs by John Franklin. He's a great writer. Wolf in the Parlor, but that's just a title, Wolf in the Parlor. After our next break, I'm going to get the name for you of this book, of this woman who thought she wanted to go hiking, and it was a wolf hybrid, and it was so charming and such a great puppy. She did all the right things raising it, and the wolf expressed itself, and it ran away constantly. It could not ever be contained in fences. The wolf was just expressing itself and became really dangerous for one and all. So, you know, if you're going to have a wolf hybrid, then you don't have dogs in your house, and you have a lovely old German Shepherd you've had your whole life who's terrorized, and this dog has you scared. Well, you're scared for a reason. Pay attention to being scared and figure out how to get this dog somewhere else where it's not going to kill you or another person or someone's child when you're out for a walk with it. You know, it's like the people that want to have chimpanzees at home. And they want to have tigers at home.
There's that this stuff kind of, never seems to work out, does it?
Well said. No, it never seems to work out. Okay, we're going to go to another break, and then we have Marianne waiting to talk to our wonderful Greg Kleva. And you, too, can do the same. 888-429-5471. If you have a wolf hybrid and you want to argue with me or tell me why you have the sweetest, most docile wolf, and right now he's lying on the floor with your toddler, bring it to us. You tell me about that. That would be news to me, and I will eat my hat or something else if someone can tell me there's a wolf hybrid who's totally trustworthy, mellow, and shows no aggression, doesn't show his or her teeth. I don't buy it. We'll be right back after this break. This show is brought to you by Halo Holistic Natural Dog and Cat Foods, which are made from real ingredients you can recognize. Read the ingredients on the label of your own dry dog food. Can you identify what's in there? Halo uses real meat in their kibble, no rendered byproducts, chicken meal, or chemicals. The company emphasizes giving back by making donations to shelters through freekibble.com because Halo believes less fortunate felines and canines deserve great nutrition too. Halo is a private company partly owned by Ellen DeGeneres, where they are genuinely dedicated to keeping your pet happy and healthy inside and out. This show is also supported by Platinum Performance Canine Wellness Formula, which is a comprehensive nutritional supplement for dogs. It provides a special blend of more than 55 nutrients to improve the health of each of your dog's 12 trillion cells. Healthy cells mean a healthy dog. In a scientific study of learning ability, the dogs who took Platinum Performance Supplement had better memory of new skills they learned compared to the control group of dogs that did not get Platinum Performance. To give your dog that mental edge, especially as she ages, go to RadioPetLady.com to get free samples and learn more. And there's a Platinum Feline formula for cats, too. Support for this show comes from The Honest Kitchen, a family-owned company that makes dehydrated pet foods from 100% human-grade ingredients. Lucy at The Honest Kitchen knows that the least processed foods are the most nutritious and developed her unique foods based on this principle. The Honest Kitchen's all-natural, clean, safe products can assist cats and dogs with chronic health issues like itchy skin, ear infections, and digestive problems, which are often linked to a diet of poor quality or highly processed ingredients. Just add water to the dry mix to create a fresh, warm, healthy meal for your cat or dog. Go to RadioPetLady.com to call The Honest Kitchen for a free consultation about which recipe is right for your pet and to get free samples. We are back, and the number to speak to Greg is 888-429-5471, as Mary Ann will do, one of his longtime fans. Welcome to the show, Mary Ann.
Hi, how are you? I have to call because I'm totally in love with Greg, and he knows it, and so is Max. And I do have a question tonight.
Good. Love you need too, to have Mary a question, because we can't just have a plain old love fest. We're all trying to learn something here, Marianne. So your question will help us all learn. What do you want to know?
His tear stains are getting much worse. He's very white. He's snow white, but he's getting, as he gets older, the tear stains get worse. And somebody mentioned angel eyes, which he doesn't like at all, and he won't go near. And then I heard of something called eye envy, and I wanted to know if there was a natural thing to wash away the tears.
You mean there's a stain, a red stain?
He's got like the brownish red stain underneath his eyes now, and he really didn't have that as a puppy. As he's getting older,
Something, Marianne. Oh, Greg, help me remember this. It's something to do with what you can feed him. Is it something you put in the water? It's not something you put on his eyes. It's something to do with the diet.
I'm going to have to look into this a little bit because I'm not positive off the top of my head, but it may have something to do with the pH balance in the dog system. It may be a vinegar, perhaps, white vinegar.
Yeah, something. There's something you're supposed to put in the water. He's not going to want to drink vinegar.
White vinegar in the water?
Something. Yeah, we don't know what.
Don't put vinegar in his water yet. I'm going to check
it
out.
No, I wouldn't. And I only use bottled water for him. He drinks bottled water.
Oh, my God.
Well, of course. He's a special boy.
Well, they recommended that.
What about the angel eyes? You've tried to put it on his face with it, and he hates it?
And I read a lot of mixed reviews, and he won't go near it. It's got to be put on the food, and he's finicky. He won't take that. So I thought maybe it was something on the outside, like a non-chemical I could wash it with.
Okay, so here's the other thing you can do. On Tuesday night, except for that Dr. Sean won't be here this week, but Dr. Sean, we have a show on Tuesday night called Cat Chat and Dog Talk, and he's a holistic vet. And although it's not really a veterinary problem, he's probably dealt with it before. So let's see, who's filling in this Tuesday? Somebody wonderful. Try on Tuesday night. I can't remember who it is. It's somebody swell, and maybe they'll know a veterinary solution to it. But I think Greg is right. It has something to do with the pH.
I just want to say the show is great, Greg. I got everybody on Twitter listening, all your fans on Facebook. And we want to make it really big and blow you up, Greg, because we love you so much.
You're the best, Marianne. Thank you. I love you and Max, too. You know it.
That's really nice.
Radio Pet Lady, I'm glad you brought Greg on into your group there. It's amazing to have him back on the air.
Aren't you so cute? Well, you know what? I am thrilled to be here with him. We're having a really good time. It's wonderful to exchange ideas with him and nice for him to have a cohort so he's not just being exhausted by all these female fans loving him too much, you know?
I know. He's high in demand. And you know what? It is very interesting. I love listening every week. Even if I don't have a problem every week, I love listening.
Well, you're darling to say that, and we're thrilled you don't have a problem every week. That's a good sign. Okay, so thank you for your call.
Not every week.
Tell all your
Greg.
Friends to call us, too, because
be
we want to have
thank
lots
you.
Of friends. And I don't
Thanks,
care if
you
love Greg more than me. Have a great night, Marianne. Thanks for the call. 888-429-5471 is our number. Okay, so here's what I'm going to do about the – it's called Call of the Wild. Is that the name of the Jack London book? Am I crazy? I think it was called Call of the Wild. I'm going to get this woman – she's a professor of something like anthropology at a college. So she has funny hours, but her publicist has tried to have me come back on Dog Talk on my NPR show because her book came out in paperback. And instead, I'll make sure they send us both a copy, and we'll invite her on the show here to educate people about what it's like to live with a wolf hybrid and what happens as they mature and become more wolf-like.
Sounds interesting.
Okay, you'd be really interested. And, you know, yes, you're right. Is there really wolf mixed in with the people who says there is? Because there's kind of like some kind of macho cachet to say, oh, I have part wolf.
It's true.
But really what we need to let people know, it's like saying I'm wearing a fur coat. It's politically incorrect. Do not bring wolves into our society. We've got enough problems. Do not bring wolves into the gene pool of dogs who spent thousands of years becoming domesticated. We have enough problem with the few random dogs that, you know, even a trainer like Greg says, you know what, this dog's just dangerous. He's just born this way and he's dangerous. Everybody who's got some wolf in them is born dangerous. They really don't want to be living with humans. They don't want to be confined in a house or a car or anywhere else. Okay, so here's a question, Greg, from Mary Jane about her Shelties. You all can call and interrupt at any time, but I have hundreds of these emails. Well, it's an exaggeration. A lot of cool emails that have come into Greg, and I like to hear his answers, and it's really fun to communicate with each other as well as with you about this. 888-429-5471. We're here chatting, but looking up for your calls as well. Hi, Greg. I've had Shelties for over 40 years, so I know they bark. That's pretty cute. Yeah. They're quite the barkathons. But our four-year-old female has started something new. When we let her out in the backyard, which is fenced, she immediately runs to the farthest corner, stands up on the concrete wall, and barks. We've come to understand that she's trying to get other neighborhood dogs to join in and bark. Says who? Did the dog tell her that? Oftentimes, she looks over on the patio to see if we're watching. I think she's not understanding these Shelties, even if she's had them for 40 years. We call her back to us, which doesn't always work. There's a lot of pieces to this. Can you help us to keep her from disturbing the peace? We're hoping you can help us make her a good girl again. So, she's 4 years old, and all of a sudden, she gets up on the concrete wall and barks, and they think she wants to get other neighborhood dogs to bark. Well, that's silly. Dogs don't bark to get them to bark. They're communicating something, right? I mean, are other dogs barking? She doesn't say. Think she has a friend? A friend she tried to bark to?
You're asking the right questions. You know the why. She's barking. It is dog communication, but why is she barking?
Right.
You know, perhaps she's heard the dogs in the neighborhood bark back. You know, hard to tell.
Yeah, yeah. It's dogs don't set out to say, you know, I have a really great idea. I'm going to see how many dogs I can get to bark in this neighborhood if I just work on this as a project. That is not what drives a dog to bark. A dog barks to be defending his territory, or sometimes play barking, but mostly defending territory or alerting to danger.
Could be stressed out, could be boredom. There's a lot of reasons why they bark.
Right. And then she says she looks over the patio to see if we're watching, and we call her back. Maybe she is trying. I mean, Lassie, Timmy fell down the well. Shelties are small collies, right? I mean, it's the same bloodline. They're herding dogs. They're all about alerting to danger. And also very connected to people. So the dog's going bark, 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 and looking over at the people. Maybe she's saying, have a look over here, people. There's something I need you to know about. I mean, that could be the most logical thing. So she's not just there on the wall. Maybe you need to go over to the wall, have a look over the wall yourself, Mary Jane, see what's on the other side. Maybe there's something on the other side that's really worth noting. And when you say you call the dog back and it doesn't always work, that's a really great one for you to address, Greg. I mean, either you have a recall or you don't. And every time you call a dog and she doesn't come, you've taught her that it's a kind of hit or miss, if you feel like it kind of thing. You have to follow through with every recall, right?
You got to make sure that she finishes that request for sure. So, and you know that this is typical of a lot of dog owners. Come on, Lassie, come, come. And oh, forget it. This dog's not going to listen to me. And we walk back in the house. So the dog goes, oh, I guess you didn't mean it. So I'm not going to do it the next time you tell me to. So, you know, but with this situation, you know, this is where my opinion on training is going to differ a little bit, perhaps from other people that may disagree. But rather than giving the dog something else to do, hey, come on, good girl, come back over here. You never taught the dog that barking was a mistake in the first place. If the barking is a nuisance to you, if it's a problem, if you're getting, you know, phone calls from the neighbors, hey, your dog's barking, we're going to report you to the town or to the police.
Right.
You know, my style of training that I like to follow is kind of a middle of the road approach. I like to correct a dog in a way that's firm but fair and never physical for unwanted behavior. So if the behavior is an unwanted behavior, if it's an unacceptable behavior, there needs to be a negative consequence. That does not mean it should create pain or fear or discomfort.
Right. Right.
But if barking, she may be barking because it gets her a positive outcome. If I bark, the rest of the dogs in the neighborhood bark back at me. I like that. Or if I bark at something I'm looking at over the fence, that kid on his bike, he rode away from me. I got a good outcome. This works for me. I'm good at this.
Right.
So if the barking gets her a positive outcome or quite frankly, no negative outcome, she's probably going to continue to do it. Whereas, again, calling her back to you isn't really a negative outcome. You're just asking her to do something else. Some trainers prefer that.
Which isn't as interesting as what she's doing.
Exactly. So, you know, you can establish some kind of a negative outcome. You know, some trainers use water squirters or noisemakers, or, you know, you put that in that area where the dog is barking and she goes, I'm not going to bark because when I bark, this rattly sound happens and I don't like that. So, you know, that's one side of the education or the training process. If there's a correction, then it's also important that once that correction is made and the dog acknowledges it, okay, what do you want me to do? The dog looks towards you and you go, come on over. That's when you call the dog back. Come on, good girl, over here. Good puppy, good puppy, good puppy. Lots of positive reinforcement. So now the dog is going, I'm not going to stand on the wall and bark because I don't like what happens over there. I love what happens when I come over to you. I get all this love and affection and we get to play. I'll come over there by you more often than not because I get a better outcome when that happens. But there's got to be consistency there. You know, people like to let their dogs out in the yard and just let them be. But if the dog is out there and you're not addressing the problem or if you're not educating the dog, then the behavior is going to continue. The behavior is going to repeat itself.
Now, I would go even a step further or differently further. Why not let her have access to that concrete wall?
That's
on the
a huge
corner?
Part of it. The management is another huge part of it.
I always take like the course of least resistance. Am I going to train her not to bark? Probably not. Do I want to have her on a long leash every time I go outside so that when she gets over to that area, I call her, and if she doesn't come, I tug on the leash and bring her back, which is
Sky,
the
yep.
way to manage it. Every time she goes on the concrete wall, Mary Jane, every single time, she's reinforcing a learned behavior and a pattern, which is the word that Greg used earlier, which is a really good word. She's establishing a pattern. I go outside, and I'm now going to be almost OCD. I got to go in the corner. I got to go in the concrete wall, and I got to bark, bark, bark. And the people talk to me, and I don't know. They don't realize there's something I got to do over here. I need a job because I'm a Sheltie, high energy. Barking's in my DNA. And it just becomes this kind of awful habit. Now, I have a dog, Greg, who is a barker, and she's heavily collie, like real collie, not border collie, like Lassie collie, mm-hmm. and then something huskyish. And she, from the day she was adopted, has been one that wants to stay outside by a back or a front door, alert at all times and hours, always sleeps with one eye open, and barks. Now, sometimes it's very early for the UPS guy, like when he's way far away and she's right, he really is coming and she hears him. Other times it's for an owl or a coyote or, I don't know, leaves falling off the tree. I never know. I mean, it's just something that she perceives, and it can, and she will bark and bark and bark. Now, there's no point in my going out there and going, Jazzy, that's enough. But that's what I do. Jazzy, thank you. I heard you. If she then goes and I tell her, go lie down. If she starts up again, I just bring her inside. She doesn't do it inside. So, you know, if there's something out there stimulating her and inspiring her where she really feels compelled and driven, she's got to bark at it. I don't really see in my lifetime or her lifetime interfering or interrupting that so that she has the impulse to bark and goes, you know, I'm not going to do that after all because I know it really gets her crabby. She's going to feel the need to bark, so I'm going to remove her from the environment in which the barking is stimulated. And this dog has, at age 4, suddenly decided the concrete wall in the corner is where barking should happen. So, you know, don't let her get up on the concrete wall. I'm not saying put broken bottle tops there, you know, like they do in some cultures, right, to keep them from climbing over walls. Just make it inaccessible in one way or another. Put up a big umbrella in the corner, you know, like a market umbrella so that she can't get up on the wall. I don't know, of course, the configuration of the wall. But if the corner was removed and the dog wasn't going to bark anymore, isn't that kind of like, that's not really what a dog trainer's job is. It's not to come and rearrange the furniture in your backyard to stop a problem. But sometimes that's the easiest, the path of least resistance.
The common sense answers are sometimes the right answers, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. The dog barks every time I do X, then don't do X.
And, you know, another big component, you know, so there's a lot of kind of layers where it comes to training,
right,
where it comes to addressing behaviors. You know, I talked about education. You talked about management. You know, you also want to look at things like, okay, how else can I keep her occupied in the yard and keep her away from – let's give her something else to do in the yard. Let's, you know, throw some food motivational toys over here and keep her occupied in that. That way she won't want to get up on the wall in the first place. So, you know, there's a lot of different – approaches to take or angles to come at this from, and that's pretty typical for most behavioral issues.
Yeah, and don't just sit on the patio, let her run in the corner, bark, 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 and then watch her look at you, and then you look at her looking at you. It's all too passive. You said something earlier, Greg, and it's particularly true of Shelties. Get off your butts and take that dog somewhere to do something, like take some beginning agility classes. You know, they can even do flyball. But Shelties are stars at agility, stars. They love it. They have a lot of energy and a lot of drive. And instead of standing in the corner trying to find a job for herself on the cement wall, why wouldn't you go and engage her in something that would stimulate her, exhaust her, and delight you? I mean, people love doing agility with their dogs. It's really,
you know,
fun.
It's fun stuff that you don't, you know, people go, oh, agility, I don't have time to take a class, the hours don't work for me. You could do backyard agility. You can make little agility equipment on your own in your house with, you know, two soup cans and a broomstick to make a little bar jumper. You know, there's all kinds of fun things that you can do.
And there must be CDs, Greg, that teach you the rudiments.
Absolutely. Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
Or call up Greg Cleva. He can show you how to jump over two soup cans and a broomstick all day
check
long.
Check out my Facebook fan page. Actually, I think I may have videos on my Facebook fan page of me doing backyard agility with some
dogs.
Oh,
that's very cool. Well, if you don't have, you should have. And this is what we should tell people. On his Facebook page, you too can become an agility meister in the privacy of your own home. All right, we're going to go to our third break, which is our last break. And this will also be your last chance to call us with your questions, or just you can just say hip, hip, hooray. Greg's back with an open phone line, 888-429-5471, and we will be right back. This show is brought to you by Vectra 3D for Dogs, a safe and effective topical anti-tick and flea treatment that you put on your dog's skin once a month to repel parasites with the newest technology. Scientific tests show that Vectra 3D creates a shield on your dog's skin that repels ticks and kills them fast and reliably for the entire month, while being safe for the people in your family. Older products do not last the full 30 days and only kill ticks that bite your dog, which can actually transmit the many tick-borne diseases. Vectra for cats and dogs who live where there are no ticks is the anti-flea topical treatment that kills all three life cycles of the flea. Vectra is only available from practicing veterinarians. To learn more and find out how your own vet can get the Vectra products, go to RadioPetLady.com. Precious Cat Litter is privately owned by Dr. Elsie, a feline-only veterinarian whose litters are designed to appeal to kitties and protect their health. His renowned Cat Attract litter has a blend of herbs which entice cats into the litter box. Respiratory Relief litter is low dust for pussycats with asthma, which makes it healthy for people and other pets in the family too. Precious Cat donates litter to shelters and rescues across the country. Waruva Pet Foods are privately owned and made in a human food facility, so they're good enough for you to eat. All the flavors of Waruva, Cats in the Kitchen, and their more economical BFF, Best Feline Friend brands, are great for finicky little dogs and choosy cats, especially those who are trying to transition away from dry foods, which Waruva chooses not to make because carbohydrates are inappropriate for an obligate carnivore, and they believe your pussycat deserves to eat as well as you do. This show is part of the Radio Pet Lady Network, the best pet radio shows in the world. If you're enjoying this show, please check out all the other shows I co-host. Mondays, there's Cat Crazy with veterinarian co-hosts, followed by The Expert Vet with Dr. Donna. Second opinions on difficult medical problems. Tuesday is Cat Chat and Dog Talk with Dr. Sean, the natural vet, followed by my long-running NPR show, Dog Talk. Wednesday is Dog Travel Experts, exploring all the ways to get out of the house with your dog. Thursday, it's A Dog's Life with trainer Greg Cleva, followed by Pet Food Advisors with Dr. Sean Delaney, a veterinary nutritionist with advice about feeding your dogs and cats. You can listen to any previous shows in the podcast libraries at RadioPetLady.com. And in fact, stay tuned right after this show for Pet Food Advisors. He's a brilliant guy, and we have loads of interesting discussions about everything from protein to kidney disease to carbohydrates. And to you pet foodies, that's all music to your ears. To those of you who just feed any old thing out of a bag, you're like, really? That's what you talk about? But honestly, it's really interesting. Okay, Greg, I like to stick on – well, one last call out for any calls from you guys, 888-429-5471. We're here, and you can ask us anything you want. It should probably be about dogs, though, because we don't know much about, like, geography or world history. John in Birmingham, Alabama, it's another barking question, and I'm going to probably surprise you with what I would suggest, particularly in this situation. I have two older Cocker Spaniels, father and son, ages 14 and 12, the most wonderful dogs. I adopted a rescued wire-haired dachshund who barks at the least little thing. Sudden noise, lights, guests arriving, and standing up just about everything. On a one-on-one basis, he's a cuddler, but the continuous barking is annoying everyone, including me. Now, what would your take be on this? We all have met that dog and can't wait to leave the home of the dog that barks at everything. What do you think?
I'm interested in the fact that, you know, this guy's got a couple of well-behaved Cocker Spaniels, the most wonderful dogs. You know, obviously this little wired-haired dachshund that he brought in is a different personality. It's a different dog with different preferences, and it's important for people to understand that a dog is not a dog is not a dog is not a dog. You know, just like people have different personalities, dogs have different personalities, different preferences. So,
yes.
You know, when you look at barking situations, like we looked at Mary Jane's Sheltie that was barking, this dog is barking for a reason. Again, is it boredom? Is it stress? Does the dog need more physical and mental stimulation? Is it a habit? Has it been reinforced in a good way for the dog? So, again, I like to dig down and figure out the why of the behavior.
But if you rescued this guy and he's a doxy, and some doxies can be barkers. I think of them sort of – I've met a number of dachshunds often in like New York City apartments. And they can bark at noises outside the door. But this one's sudden noise, lights, guests arriving, and standing up. So a guest arrives or a guest is sitting down and stands up and the dog starts barking. It sounds like really learned, incredibly annoying behavior.
He's very reactive.
Reactive is the right word, reactive. Now, I'm going to surprise you about this, so we only have a few minutes left to go. I happen to believe that there are situations in which a bark collar is very effective because a dog that will bark at just about everything, there's no way to identify what it's, you know, how to stop it from barking because it's not like it only just happens when this one thing happens. It's when almost everything in the environment happens, the dog barks as a reaction. It's just like a knee-jerk reaction. The bark collars that they now have, that PetSafe has, and there may be other brands, but they've bought up a lot of the companies, has an intelligence to it. It delivers a stim. Now, people could call it electric shock. It is not an electric shock because you can hold it in your own hand, not this, but the other kind of stim collars, and feel it's like a buzzing. It certainly startles in and of itself. But it has an intelligence that it requires – another dog barking nearby would not set off that stim. It has to be that dog's barking. So it picks up the vibration of the throat. It fits on like a collar, and the little transmitter goes, let's say, where the vocal cords are, under the chin. And it only is activated when the dog barks. And if the dog continues to bark after it's been given the stim, it actually has a memory of how long it is between barks and the stim gets stronger. It has a true, some sort of a computer processor. And I have three dogs, which we probably don't have time to discuss now, that are horrible in the car when they see any other dog outside the car. And I tried every kind of positive training, and I tried with only two dogs and not three. And it's a nightmare. They go absolutely ballistic, like they're going to jump out the closed windows, you know, break through the roof. And I put the bark collar on each of them. I didn't have to do anything. It's totally passive. It's not my decision. I don't have to push a button. And it's on them. And from the very first time they barked, and they barked ferociously and horribly, they only had to bark once each. Nobody yelped. Nobody screamed. Nobody was shivering. Nobody was freaked out or frightened or in pain. I put the collar on every single time they go in the car. And when they're wearing it, they don't bark. I don't know. It's like the simplest thing in the whole world. I don't get why people are freaked out and think that that's punishment or vile or cruel. It's great because I'm not having a dangerous driving situation. And then I tried to put them in the car after they'd worn it without it on. And they went insane and barked the minute they saw a dog.
It's that association.
They know that when it's on, that if they bark them, they're not stupid. If they're wearing it and they bark, they'll get that sensation, that one sensation they got once, and they won't bark. But it didn't teach them never to bark in the car. It taught them not to bark when they're wearing that collar. That's okay by me, because that's the only place they bark, but it matters to me. So I'm leaving that out there. We've run out of time. I'd love next week to know what you think of that, what you would think if you came to my house to train me and my dogs, and that was a decision that I'd made. If you'd be okay with it, or if you'd try to talk me out of it, or if people think that's awful, good. Let's have a conversation about it next week. What do you say,
Greg? We'll talk about it for sure.
We'll talk about it for sure. We're thrilled to be here. We're so thrilled you all called. Hugs and kisses to all your dogs and to your human family. And Greg, we'll talk again next week.
You bet. Have a good night.